101 KUFO, Portland's Rock.
The high school crowd hasn't been very happy with our product lately.
But you can't blame them. They want new material. Our stuff's been repeated too many times. We can't sell the same thing to the same old crowd forever.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero comes to you live from Portland, Oregon tonight. If you want to get in line for the phones, you can do so by getting on and calling 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. And what a show we have planned for you tonight. In fact, this is going to probably be a very controversial show because of the guests that I have in the studio tonight. You may have heard of the two guests that I have chosen to come into the program. It's a very important topic we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight in the studio, we're going to have James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com and Alex Ansari from the TV show Outside the Box. Both James Evan Pilato, they've worked with a lot of people in the media. In fact, they're media, internet media. And that's the best place to find a lot of the interesting stuff that you hear about on Ground Zero, because truth is, the media, the mainstream media, blocks out a lot of what we talk about. And a lot of what is heard, I was doing a lot of internet broadcasting. I did internet, I did national talk shows, I've done television, I've done network TV. I worked with Alex Ansari on his TV program Outside the Box. It was seen on Portland media here, Portland community media here. Well-known in the community as a talk show host who, TV talk show host, has gone out. He's bullhorned several get-togethers. He's, he's the annoying one, the bullhorns. That's what he is. And then we have James Evan Pilato, MediaMonarchy.com. He's worked on the Corbett Report. He's worked on several other shows. He's currently on ZeroPointRadio.com, the same network that is right now broadcasting this show online. If you go to ZeroPointRadio.com, you can hear this show online, or you can do it from the KUFO website, but we prefer ZeroPointRadio.com because we've got different ways that you can listen. You can listen in Flash. You can listen on 48K, 128K. We encourage you to listen all over the internet, all over the world. We encourage you to spread the word. We encourage you to get the word out about what we're talking about. What we're talking about tonight is very important. It is very vital because I don't think a lot of people are aware of what's really happening behind the scenes. And we have talked about last week, we had Freeman on the show. Freeman, of course, from Austin, Texas, worked with people like Alex Jones and several others, talking about Iran last week and what is going on with Iran and whether or not they have the capability of blowing up an EMP. Well, of course, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad did go on the on television and he spoke and he did say, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have nuclear capability. We now have the ability to fire a bomb above an area and take out its power. We have the ability to drop a bomb on Israel. We have the power to drop a bomb or blow up a nice concussion, low-yield nuke above the United States, creating what we call an EMP or an electromagnetic pulse." We have speculated about electromagnetic pulsing. We've talked about HAARP. We've talked about what's in store for the country. Well, the bottom line here is that what the future holds is a little something we call the police state. It's bringing about law and order, or at least enforcing some sort of law and order in this country. But, you know, many talk shows that are similar to mine say things like, "Well, the police state's coming." Well, no, it's here. The police state is here, and I'll tell you now, you don't need to keep hearing from people that it is coming. When it is here, we're going to talk about reasons why it is here. We're going to point out reasons and ways that you're going to be able to realize that it's here. We're also inviting you who are listening tonight to give us your experiences with the police and what's happening with the police in your area, whether you're calling from Portland, Oregon, or anywhere in the world, anywhere around the country. Now, I'm inviting people from anywhere around the country to call in, and the reason why is because I want to hear about the police situation in your neck of the woods, where you're at. And the reason why is because it needs to be, well, first of all, let's bring my guests on. Let's bring Alex Ansari on, and let's bring James Evan Pilato on. Go ahead and say hello to everybody out there. James, first, welcome to the show.
Clyde, thanks so much for having us on, man. I appreciate it.
And Alex, you go ahead and say hello.
Yeah, thank you very much, Clyde. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you. And I don't think ever in the history of radio have there been, you know, I do what I do, but you guys are, you know, you, of course, James, Media Monarchy. Tell a little bit about what Media Monarchy does. It sifts through the news, basically, right?
I basically do the data mining, and I try and sift through the news. So on MediaMonarchy.com, and I've been doing the website for almost 5 years, I troll through all the news and put things together, and I think we've said before that people say that the mainstream media is all lies.
Right.
But it's not all lies. They just don't give you the context or the subtext. And what I try and do with the site is not only give you a story, but also try and give you the background and sort of the supplemental contextual links to say, here's why this is an important story. And I think that's what sets the site apart from others.
What's really fascinating is James Evan Pilato, I've read his website. I read it religiously. And I also do news for a radio station here in town. Ground Zero is not the only thing I do. I do also news reporting. Mm-hmm. I did a report on a situation at PSU, Portland yes. State University, with Professor John Hall accusing a student of being an FBI agent. Now, we, as a newsroom, did not know the background story. Now, James, tell us a little bit about that. And then there are a lot of PSU students, I think, that listen to this show. In fact, we've got a lot of college students who listen to this show.
Okay.
Why is this story bigger than what we've heard? I mean, we heard that Hall could not teach. We heard that, you know, that allegedly it was this FBI informant that mm-hmm. was at his mm-hmm. school.
Well,
okay, tell me about
that. Well, that's what I was going to say. We'll break it down for folks. And essentially, the two main parties aren't saying anything other than through their lawyers now. But we had a situation a few weeks ago where a Portland professor accused a student of being an FBI informant mm-hmm. and of also trying to radicalize his classmates, telling them about Molotov cocktails and how to get guns and just how to be violent in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this story, why it's not just a Portland story, is that I think what goes along with this, and it was recently reported on Democracy Now!, there you had an anthropologist on to talk about the Central Intelligence Agency has set up basically fronts, and not fronts in the black ops sense, but real setups at 22 American universities.
Right.
So this isn't just a Portland story. So I caught it because, you know, we're here and it's much more apparent. I've talked to folks, you know, second and third hand connected to the situation.
This is where the police state begins, because the CIA has become the black op or the shadow government for this government that has created these cell structures within colleges and these cell structures within communities and in churches and places like that. They don't answer to Congress. They don't answer for their budgets. They don't answer to anything. So what you're seeing is you're seeing this spying infiltration going on, not just in Portland, Oregon, but John Hall, he made the accusation. Both sides are saying that the FBI isn't involved, but you say that maybe there's something else going on behind the scenes with this guy?
In the moment, in this classroom where this confrontation happened a few weeks ago, the student accused a guy whose name is supposedly Zachary Bucharest, and we're getting stuff, you know, from the PSU newspaper and from the Oregonian. He stood up and said, well, some of the things he said about my military background are true.
And he was with the Israeli military, wasn't
he? And those were the accusations, that he was an IDF soldier.
Right.
So if he gets up and says, well, some of the things about my military background are true, but the things about me being an FBI provocateur aren't, so is he essentially admitting that, yes, he was an Israeli soldier?
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's most interesting is that there is, and that's why conspiracy theory, people want to try and debunk conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory is the catch-all now for people investigating mm-hmm. stories. We get one story, and then we get another story that's the shadow story. No one wants to buy the shadow story. And they're afraid that they're afraid that if they indulge in it, they're going to be called cranks or cracks.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is that a crank last week, Freeman and myself both said that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's announcement will be, oh, by the way, we've got nukes. And we pointed out all the symbolism and everything else, and you know, we thought that they were going to drop it on us. We thought, yeah, this is going to happen because they're going to say punch. But no, I mean, it was a punch, but it wasn't the punch we were looking for. However, for me, I think it's kind of scary that this is going on. But see, that was all some conspiracy theory before saying, well, they've got the bomb. They've had it for a while. They're finally going to tell us, but they're going to shoot up some worms and some turtles up into space before, you know, they tell the truth. But, you know, putting the Quran at the bottom of a rocket called the Simurgh, which is a phoenix that destroys the Earth, can't tell me that that wasn't symbolic of something. And so when a guy says, oh, by the way, you're my student, I think you're an FBI informant, he could be half-baked, go off half-cocked, could be totally out of his mind, or he could be onto something. Maybe the details are incorrect, but something is there. And so what you're trying to tell me is that he did have a background in some military.
In some kind of military background, and again, some of the folks I've talked to, you know, second, third-hand connected to the situation, seem to be that other students were aware of this guy talking about weapons and things.
So we have actually a spy that's in a college, or we have someone that's allegedly a spy or reportedly a spy in a college. This guy kind of rats him out, and immediately we have this huge incident where the college is investigating. And that's interesting because of what I wrote. If you go to groundzeromedia.org, groundzeromedia.org, I just wrote an article that's posted up called My First Police State. And what it's about is for people who don't know what a police state is, it's not really all that remedial, but it certainly points some things out about what is a police state. And one of the major things to demonstrate to you that there's a police state is infiltration of colleges, spies in colleges, CIA operatives in colleges. And there are cops there all the time, I'm sure. But no, we're talking about big, you know, alphabet agencies who don't answer to anyone, basically setting up in college campuses around the country spying. Now, Alex Ansari of Outside the Box, this guy has been screaming and yelling from the rafters about these things going on in his show, on his television show. Yeah, does it surprise you at all that we're hearing about this now?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all that we're hearing about this now. In fact, we're hearing about stories like this literally nationwide, the use of agent provocateurs to truly destabilize any peaceful resistance to the elite, the New World Order, whatever term we use to describe this group. They're out there and they got a lot of money, taxpayer funds.
And so we're paying for the spy ring. We're
absolutely
paying for the spying.
We're funding the shackles on our wrists and ankles.
Yeah, and so you take a look at this and you say to yourself, am I going out of my mind, or would you say the police state's here now?
Yeah, the police state's here now, and to a certain degree, we're already under martial law, and the invasion is already underway. And if we take a look at what NORTHCOM's involved in, preparations for martial law in the event of civil unrest, which the government is planning for, because it's only a matter of time before the economy crashes, you know, what we're doing here, Clyde, is reporting the writing that's on the wall, the stuff that few people have the guts to talk about because it scares them.
Do either one of you run into people who tell you that you're out of your mind, James? I mean, you're the one. I mean, I know people do that to Alex because I've been in Alex's presence when they do it to me, too.
It's a way of life.
It's funny, and I think it's because, you know, Alex is brown. Mm. I think that's one of
the TV show. You probably have a recognizable
face
around.
Let me give you a little bit of brief background information. My father's from Afghanistan. My mother is white. The reason I got involved in hosting Outside the Box on Comcast Channel 11 is because I want to find out really what 9/11 was about and why supposedly 19 Arab hijackers turned our nation into a high-tech police state. In reality, this stuff's being positioned for future-right Americans upset with the direction that the government is going in, and that's a story that I've been looking at for a number of years, what this police state is really being built up for.
And I used to rib you because I said that made you a suspicious brown person. I knew you when you weren't a suspicious brown person, but now you are, and I love you still. So that's the thing.
Folks, no, I...
You don't get accused of being a crank?
I don't get accused of being a crank, and I think at least it may have something to do with if my demeanor or the way I go about things.
It's because you wear glasses.
Because I wear glasses.
I wear them, and people think, God, you're getting old, Clyde. But no, it's because you wear glasses. I'm sure.
I try to address the news of the day and the untold news of the day to folks tailored to what they're already interested in.
Mm.
So if you want to, tell people about, the TARP and the bailout and the Bankster bailout and the fact that the lies still go on about that,
mm-hmm.
You can talk to people who like economics. I basically try and tailor my message to folks. And I try not to deal in conspiracy theory. I try and deal with
conspiracy facts, right?
Fact.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I do too. I mean, I'm not. Sometimes I speculate, but sometimes my speculation gets me into hot water, and sometimes it doesn't. I would like to basically start things off. Last week, Freeman and I were talking about a lot of things, and Freeman is one of the classic guys who, of course, is on it. He knows what's going on. He's very, very well versed in symbolism. He brought up the Grammys. Okay, now I had not seen the Beyonce Knowles video. You can see it by going to groundzeromedia.org, groundzeromedia.org. Go to breaking news links. You can see it in my first Police State article. And we watched it before we all came in here. First of all, Alex hadn't seen it. And Alex is like me. I don't turn off Beyonce Knowles because, I turn off Beyonce Knowles because I don't like that kind of music. I don't like this commercial, you know, just because if it has boobs, it sells type of music. And yeah, Beyonce, you know, she's pretty attractive. But, and so is Lady Gaga. But the truth is, I mean, I know who they are, but lately I've been thinking, man, I should pay attention to this stuff because what we saw at the Grammys. Alex, you saw the video. What did you think? Describe the video when you saw it and describe what's going on in it.
Immediately after seeing it, I was wondering whether this was blatant propaganda or a warning, because sometimes in music, in pop culture, in Hollywood, there is a warning that is being sent through the mass media, but sometimes there are messages that are implanted in the particular video that have a certain effect on the subconscious of the person watching what's unfolding on the YouTube video or the television.
So what did you see? You saw propaganda, but what was it?
Troops. Talking martial law, marching right beyond Beyonce, right up onto stage, right to the beat. It was packaged, designed to look cool, to look hip, to look fantastic. You know, it's hard to really describe this video because it was just so out there, and people become very, very accepting to this type of programming, and that, to me, Claude, is what's alarming. People should be talking about stuff like this.
And hopefully we're bringing that up tonight, and I hope people have something to say about it. 1-800-344-KUFO. James, your opinion on the appearance of Beyonce Knowles at the Grammys and this whole... Let me just let you know, if you haven't seen the video, these stormtroopers in black monkey men gear, jackboots, I'm talking stuff out of an Orwellian nightmarish scenario, are basically marching behind Beyonce Knowles, and she sings a song that has absolutely nothing to do with this martial law programming that you're seeing behind her. What do you think?
That's the thing. It almost seems like a clumsy, ham-fisted, you know, mishmash of things with these stormtroopers that march her up on stage, and then she starts singing a song, which I guess you could extrapolate that if I were a boy could relate to being, what, if I were a boy, I would be one of these, you know, police thugs. And then it's a medley into an Alanis Morissette song. So just artistically, it doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense, which could maybe set off more red flags to say that
Do you think it was predictive programming? Would you say it was predictive
programming?
Absolutely.
And I think when we were just first talking about it is that, you know, it's not a video. It's not a music video. This was her performance on the Grammys that had, you know, its biggest audience, I think, in 10 years. So you're talking tens upon tens upon tens of millions of people tuned in for this ritual.
And to define predictive programming, for those hearing the term being used for the very first time, it's implanting certain images, certain themes within music, within movies, within the mass media to implant a certain belief or a certain view of reality, the future, the past, the present, and the future. And so what we're looking at in Hollywood today is just a couple companies literally making movies now, and many of the movies involve the military, pro-military films, pro-police state films. So if we look critically, if we're able to do so, if we haven't been completely lobotomized through the corn syrup that we're drinking in the soda, we're able to see exactly where they want us focused on TV today.
Exactly. And I find that when I looked at the performance, I looked at it again tonight before I came in, and I was watching it, and it did give me the creeps to watch that, only because of the fact that I've lived in a police state. This isn't my first police state. I lived in Buenos Aires, Argentina, during the Dirty War. The Dirty War was just another marketing term for a war on terror. Okay, they had terrorists in Argentina, and these terrorists were, of course, Jews. Okay, they were said that the Jews are here to destroy us, much like in the time of Hitler. They were doing the same thing, except they were pointing their fingers at the Jews, saying that they were responsible for all the problems. And then Americans were also responsible for all their problems because of the Falkland Island War and the fact that we didn't come to their aid when that happened. So we were stuck in a police state. Now, in a police state, you still wear your clothes the same way. You still talk amongst yourselves the same way, but you use guarded speech. You're also in a position where you can be basically what is called disappeared. And that is, if you do something that pisses off the government, if you say something or do something that pisses off the government, they come to your door at 3 a.m., they rip you out of bed, they slap you with drugs, they give you either ketamine or something to put you out, and then they throw you in the back of a cattle truck, and then they put you on a helicopter and dump you in the ocean, and you're never seen again. That's called desaparecido. That happened during the Dirty War. And the thing is they're saying, well, this doesn't happen in America. This isn't happening now. Well, what's going on is that a guy by the name of Dennis Blair, who, I don't know, Dennis Blair works for Obama. What does he do for Obama?
He is Obama's Director of National Intelligence.
Okay. The Director of National Intelligence just made a decree on February 3rd that it is now okay to kill American citizens if they find them to be a threat to the government, if they assume they are.
Okay? Right, if they believe we are. Exactly.
Right. You can be shot and killed, okay? You can be shot and killed for just being suspected of being a threat to this country. Even if you haven't had a trial, even if you don't get due process, which is guaranteed to you from the Constitution, they can shoot you. They can assassinate you, execute you, wipe you out, take you out. You know, in Hitler's Germany, they actually gave trials to subversives against Hitler. They didn't shoot him on sight. This is something that Stalin would do. Stalin, the leader of Russia, Soviet Russia. Back in the 1940s. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Do you see the police state here where you live? Anywhere in the country. 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back with more with James Evan Pilato and Alex Ansary. We'll be back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero. With Clyde Lewis.
1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Wherever you are in the country, I want to know how your police is performing. What's going on? We all know the performances happen. Of course, we talked about the Grammy Awards, and we talked about Beyonce Knowles. And we're looking at predictive programming becoming state-of-the-art, and that this generation's first police state, very evident. Her performance of If I Were a Boy included riot gear-clad stormtroopers marching into the room, acclimating the viewers for the arrival of the jackbooted thugs only dreamed about in a nightmarish Orwellian novel. It seemed to be that she was the queen bee, and then the armies that surrounded her were ready to respond by opening fire on everybody in the audience. It was a frightening experience. It was lights, camera, action, and police state. Powers far more greater than we are controlling what we think and what we see. With me tonight is Alex Ansary of Outside the Box and James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. You know, you take a look at this predictive programming. I mean, it's not just looking at Beyonce. I mean, people are going to all Beyonce tune out.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'd rather be listening to, you know, System of a Down. No, I'm just saying, it just goes to show you that's evil and corrupt. I mean, hell, people worry about heavy metal. Take a look at this crap. This is crap.
Well, it reminds me of a famous quote.
What?
The death of the Republic always comes with thunderous applause.
Oh, and that's true. And you know, but this type of predictive programming is everywhere.
So if we're talking about thunderous applause, then we had the Grammys, which were just a couple weeks ago, and we had then the Super Bowl last week.
Yeah.
And one of the commercials, at least the one commercial that I saw from the Super Bowl, was this spot from Audi, the car company.
Oh, the Green Police spot.
The Green Police spot, which is, it's done in kind of a comical way that basically shows average Americans being arrested by the Green Police for what are essentially all these little minor environmental infractions.
Right.
The insult to injury of it all is that Cheap Trick re-recorded Dream Police the Green Police.
Inside of my head. Yeah. Well, you know, taking a look at that, people are saying, well, it was in a joking manner. I looked at it as creepy. I thought it was creepy because this is exactly what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to start enforcing. I mean, they've already got something for your iPhone called an eco snoop, where you can report to some eco group, some eco fascist group, that somebody's left their water dripping. I mean, it's like we're monitoring and policing each other, just like the Stasi did, you know, in East Germany.
Well, and I think perhaps the difference between you're talking about being in Argentina and the difference between that and America is that we are physically such a large country.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's one reason why there's never been any kind of big popular uprising, because we can't all make it to the District of Criminals.
Well, true.
What's good about you saying is how they've hijacked the real genuine environmental movement, and they're trying to use it as the pretext to enforce a police state under the guise of sustainability. And that's what was key about your show on global warming a couple of weeks ago, for those that missed it.
Right, and it's true. I mean, you look at it, and you know, people think, oh, this is just alarmist stuff, alarmist. But no, it's not alarmist when you consider that, okay, you have one president, 9 Supreme Court justices, 100 senators, and 435 congressmen. That adds up to 545 people. Now, that is how many out of the 300 million people in this country that are directly responsible for creating and implementing the police state. The police state is in place to somehow protect us from the consequences of the domestic crisis that they have created.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. 545 people out there. Your president, your Supreme Court, your senators, all these people have created this crisis. Okay? Either it's been the domestic policies, that's why we have the quote-unquote terrorism. It's their bad spending that's caused this, because that's why we have these bank crises and people are worried they're not going to be able to get their money. And this is why we are broke, because of these 545 people. Now, think of the 300 million against those 545, and something just isn't right here, because we have all of these people that aren't paying attention, and all these people that aren't, you know, moving and saying, no, we don't want this. Mm-hmm. We can go against those 545 people, but we won't. I mean, what were you going to say, Alex? You were going to say something?
And they just established, under executive order, we saw a lot of executive orders being passed when Bush was in office, but Obama signed, it's on the White House, the executive order establishing the Council of Governors. And it reinforces the whole FEMA preparedness plan, 10 different districts, 10 handpicked governors that will take their orders directly from Homeland Security, NORTHCOM, and the Department of Defense. And so Google Council of Governors, you can read about it around the White House website.
Now, that's creepy, because Freeman brought up last week the Council of Governors. They were going to basically elect these governors to answer directly to the president. Now, I mentioned that Alaska had what is known as an emergency alert notification drill. Now, the emergency alert notification drill is used in major crisis, and I'm talking nuclear or volcano or major earthquake that shakes the entire country, anything. They're utilizing this now. They've never utilized it before. They didn't even utilize it during 9/11. They're drilling with this now. Now you're talking about the Council of Governors. They're now appointing 10 governors that will rule in districts or zones. They are going to be available in case. Okay, now we're talking about potential science here, something that your government practices. Okay, they do something called potential science or potential threat. The threats may not be real, but they're potential. So we're talking in potentiality. So we've got 12 governors that will rule this country and take the orders directly from the president in case of a potential threat to our way of living.
And this is why we're seeing also anti-terror drills being run in American cities like Top Off 4, which was in Portland, but other ones just like that in other cities throughout the United States.
Okay, now you were at Top Off 4. What happened?
Top Off 4 was a little bit freaky, Clyde.
Okay, tell me about what happened at Top Off 4.
Well, for those that haven't heard, Mayor Potter took millions of dollars from the federal government and allowed Homeland Security, FEMA, the CIA, the FBI, multiple alphabet agencies into the city of Portland, Oregon.
Now, they were one of the cities. There were several other cities, too, that were involved in it. So we're
Guam and Phoenix.
Guam
it was the largest
Phoenix.
Anti-terror drill up to that point in 2007.
Yeah, so even though it's Portland-centric, what we're trying to tell you is that we were one of the cities selected. Portland was.
We were. And they were also running concurrent drills that were war games, like Vigilant Shield, which dealt with intercepting an attack from overseas. So there are domestic terror drills being done in concurrent with war game drills where they're anticipating something big happening, where they're going to have to deal with a very upset population.
The scenario is always nuke. They're talking nuke. They're talking dirty nuke. They're talking EMP nuke. I mean, the things I talked about last night, I'm not up in the night, okay? I was right about Iran getting the bomb. They announced it, you know? I was wrong about them detonating it over America. But every drill, every NORTHCOM directive, everything that I am seeing and I am reading about is that they are preparing for something. And this is intelligence that is locked away in some briefing somewhere. And we're just scratching at the surface. But something where the entire country will have to be basically over a total dragnet.
I think something worth pointing out is that this isn't a partisan issue, and we're kind of trapped in this left-right paradigm. So now that I speak, you know, negatively, you know, and criticize the president, oh, well, I must be a Republican. We're trapped in this sort of, if you talk bad about Bush, well, at least then I was, you know, a crazy liberal. But the agenda rolls forward. So I think that's hopefully what folks are starting to see, that even though we've now had this change, supposedly, that nothing is changing and the agenda still rolls forward.
In fact,
I think a lot of people hopefully are having their kind of like, oh my God.
They should
moment.
Have their oh my God moment, and they shouldn't be partisan, and they shouldn't be sitting there, you know, praising Obama and worshiping the ground he floats above, because quite frankly, he has extended the policies that were put together after 9/11.
And specifically, I wanted to point this out, that, and I believe we talked about this on one of your Ground Zero Lounge shows, that Obama extended the Bush national emergency that was put forth after 9/11. On September 14th, 2001, Bush put it in writing,
right,
that national emergency. Barack Obama, on September 14th, 2009, renewed that official state of emergency. So even we can talk about the things that sort of, yes, it seems like we're in a police state, but I can still drive around and go to the store and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, in writing, we are in a state of emergency.
We're in a state of emergency. We're in a police state.
Right. They're building the foundation. You don't move into your home until the foundation is built and the concrete is laid out. And that's what we're seeing here. Short point, if you look at the ACLU report, we are in Portland, a constitution-free zone. Within 100 miles around the country, north, south, east, west, they've designated that as a constitution-free zone. And one point on Obama is that we haven't seen any change because we're still in the prison. And what it's like the prisoners voting for which warden they like. Warden one says, I'm going to let you out of your cell more, but there'll be less food. The other warden says, they'll give you more food, but you'll be in your cell a little bit more. Mm-hmm. There's no actual difference between the two, and it's really important. I always encourage people to follow the money.
That's exactly right. You follow the money, and you see what's going on. And as James pointed out, you take a look at, since the September 11 attacks, we have become more of an intelligence state, a surveillance state, a full-time police state enforced and protected by those 545 that created the crisis in the first place. The new health care plan is part of the surveillance state because, as I have said before, regardless of what you think about nationalized health care, yes, we all need health care. But if they federalize it, if they decide they want to change it and make it socialized, it's just another surveillance state opportunity. It's a surveillance state opportunity to monitor what you're taking in as far as pain medications and all sorts of other things. And that is what they're doing. They want to go back into the drug trafficking business. And that's why they want to legalize pot.
Mm.
Because they want to become part of the... They think that they're going to make more money at this if these plans go through. And it's because they will monitor it.
We've definitely seen that meme come with the Obama presidency, and I've joked often on the radio show that, well, you know, he's not going to repeal the Patriot Act, and he's not going to stop the war. He's not going to do any of that crap he thought he was going to do.
He's going to legalize pot.
But we might be able to get comfortably high as everything falls apart.
Who cares? We'll all smoke pot. And heck, he smokes pot. I think Obama smokes pot. I do.
Well, no, he's... he has admitted to it. I don't know.
But I think he still does. I love his point when he said, you know, did you inhale? He says, that's the point.
That's the point.
Well, Clyde, you are hitting the nail on the head of this healthcare thing, because what I want to know, Clyde, is why do I have to sign up? If it's so great, explain this to me, and why am I going to be fined if I don't get on board?
Because it is another way to monitor you. We're going to go to a phone call right now. Let's go to Kurt right now, calling from Dallas, Oregon. Kurt, hi, you're on Ground Zero with James Evan Pilato and Alex Ansari. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Go ahead.
I basically just wanted to call in and tell you guys my story. Earlier you were talking about how in Argentina people were being disappeared, and I'm kind of going through something similar to that here in America. So,
what's going on with you?
Well, kind of keeping a long story short, about 5 months ago, I was browsing through the rant and rave section of Craigslist, and I noticed that the people that were on there were, you know, talking about how they'd been you know, pushed around or bullied or wrongly accused by police officers, you know, and so. I don't know what happened to them, but I posted my own piece, and some of it was a little inappropriate, but what it was a rant, and it was me venting, and it was me venting about law enforcement in the local area, it was me venting about the county of Clackamas and the judges that they use in their system, and because I wrote those words that offended the government here in the local area when I was living, and you got to keep in mind, I was living in Oregon City at the time when this happened. I live in Dallas now. But when that happened to me, that was then traced, and the IP address that from what I wrote it on was then tracked. And once they found out it was me, they followed me for quite a while, all the way down here to Dallas. And then about through 2 months ago now, they police stopped me on my way to work and surrounded me from every angle. They
so you're feeling as though you're being harassed.
Well. They charged me with harassment. I don't feel like I was being harassed. I feel like what happened to me was they came to me. They can't have a warrant to search my truck, to search my home, search my person. They took my laptop, my phone, any mass storage devices I might have had. When they searched my home, they specifically said they were looking for bomb-making material. Why would they
be looking for bomb-making material from you?
That's something that I never really got an answer for. Right. And so once they completed the search and found nothing, you know, the police officer who was working directly with me was probably the first officer I've ever talked to him in a long time who was actually civil with me as a person. And as he talked to me, he said, you know, it's supposed to be freedom of speech, but you can't say things about how cops are corrupt, and you can't say things about how judges are corrupt.
Well, like, that's something that, once again, we live in times where it used to be you could say whatever you want, but now there's a responsibility behind what you're saying. And I'm not behind the police harassing you. I wouldn't like that at all. But it just seems to me that it's a little bit overkill to be doing this to you just because you ranted on a Craigslist.
Well, and that's my idea exactly. And so I actually just had my first case management appearance last week in Clackamas County, and we actually got it extended for another case management appearance.
Did you threaten anybody in that rant?
Totally honestly, I did. I threatened like police officers in general.
If you threaten a police officer, you better, you know, that's all I'm saying. It's like, you know, you don't go around threatening police officers unless you have, you know, well, you don't even threaten them even if you do have evidence to show that they're corrupt. I'm just saying that, you know, that's the thing. That's why I wanted to find out why you'd be either looked at and being looked at as a potential person of interest. Mm-hmm. I mean, threatening a police officer is, I think it's a crime.
I'm sure it probably is.
It's a crime.
You're absolutely right. I don't disagree with you at all. That the words that I said were out of line. It's definitely, you know, that's absolutely true. However, taking this a step forward, what I'm looking at now is potentially a year and a half in prison for one for computer crime, because when I posted this listing, I was using a Wi-Fi router that wasn't locked. It was my neighbor's router. And so I'm looking at that, and then a potentially a half a year in prison, 6 months in prison.
That's a little harsh. This is harsh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm potentially looking at. I wasn't able to afford a lawyer of my own. So
did you have bail that was out of this world too, to get out of when you were charged? Did you have a high bail set and everything?
I would have. The officer, he didn't take me to jail initially. He said that because I cooperated, he wasn't going to take me to jail. But now I'm going through this deal, and so my lawyers informed me that the district attorney has made an offer of 5 days in jail, 18 months probation, $1,000 fine.
Well, let's hope you get that, because I'm going to tell you right now, another sign of the police state of these over-exaggerated prison stays or jail stays for things like this. I mean, you know, threatening an officer, I don't think should give you a year in jail. That's just silly. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Alex?
Well, there's another talk show host out there that had someone post a comment on his website where he was giving the name of the officer that shot a black man in the back. And we're seeing a lot of police brutality stories like this, and we're all upset and we're angry. But we're trying to do something legal, to do something about it. And in this day and age, you cannot go online and post this stuff without expecting a knock at your door. And so this particular talk show host was visited by the FBI that was actually upset at him for moving the comment from his webpage, and he was subpoenaed. We are talking about Alex Jones, to appear in Virginia to testify against the gentleman that posted on his website. And so they were upset he actually took it down, by the way.
Well, once again, I say guarded speech is another thing you see in a police state. You have to guard your speech. And that happened in Buenos Aires. You got to be careful who you talk to. You're talking to the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. You say something, they may be an informant for the government. You're going to knock at your door. This is why, as I say, if this is your first police state, pay attention, because it's what you're in. Now, being in a police state is neither good nor bad, but it can be very bad if you allow it to be very bad. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that in a police state, you go about your business. In a police state, you wake up every day, you go to work, you say goodnight to your friend, goodbye to your friends at work, you say hello to your wife at home, you see your kids, everything else. In a police state, you do all those things. But then, there's a part of the police state which is weird, such as our guy here in Dallas, who says, you know, I said something, and now I'm getting the heat for it. I may spend a year in jail. This is where you start saying to yourself, ooh, that's a little harsh. I can't get into my computer. Freedom of speech, what happened to that? Constitution completely thrown out. Militarized martial law and police state activity, part of the norm. As I said before, what prompted this was Dennis Blair saying that they can shoot American citizens now, and they don't even need due process. This is like, as I said before, Stasi police. It's like Stalin's, Russia. It's scary. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Tonight, we talk about the police state with James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com and Alex Ansari of Outside the Box, AlexAnsari.com. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
UFO, Portland's Rock.
CIA Director James Woolsey said he expects the experiments to feature endorsements from TV and rock stars. The U.S. military expects the younger audience to fully comply.
People who are defenders of the U.S. Constitution against federal government and the U.N. and make numerous references to the U.S. Constitution should be monitored as potentially murderous and fanatical terrorists.
That makes you proud to live in this
America. The Freedom of Transportation of American citizens have generated a lot of interest. is everything.
They can seize your home, they can take your car, full control of all highways and everything, and they can put you in one of these, one of the 800 FEMA concentration camps that they have.
Civil rights advocates believe the amount of public cooperation may depend largely on how long they expect the suspension of their rights might last.
We love anti-human.
Yeah.
Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. The number to call is 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Tonight, I have with me James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com and Alex Ansari from Outside the Box, a television show that has been seen online. You can go online and watch it on YouTube. It's been seen everywhere. You're going to start broadcasting somewhere else, aren't you, Alex?
Yeah, I'll be starting a new show tomorrow at LibertyNewsRadio.com. And for those that are just now discovering me, I'm local and the website's AlexAnsari.com. And so there's a lot of us that are coming together now in the flesh that are talking about solutions, and there's a number of meetup groups. So there are ways, if you're listening, that you can get involved in trying to make a change, a difference in your world. And that's what we're trying to do here.
And James, you're doing TV online too now. You're doing it with Corbett.
With James Corbett, a guy that's actually in Japan.
Yeah.
I do a weekly 10-minute YouTube series called The New World Next Week, where we basically go over three stories and do it in a sort of bite-sized way that I know folks that maybe won't listen to a two-hour podcast of me talking about the news.
Sure.
There's a video with the documentation and the graphics, and it's really well produced, and those are now getting, you know, thousands and thousands of views online.
Now, you were doing some background checking on something we were discussing during the break about something about police chiefs. Tell me about that.
There is a story floating around, and it is on some of the conspiracy theory sites like AboveTopSecret.com.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially what seems to be playing out all around the country is that police chiefs are resigning. And we have lists from towns that I've never heard. Oroville, California, Burlington City, Pennsylvania, Bellmead, Texas. A huge laundry list here if you just, again, just Google police chiefs resigning around the country. What would this say, and why would these guys all be retiring at the same time?
They retire. A lot of people are fired. In fact, we were reading a funny story about some guy named Richard Pickles. His name's Dick Pickles.
Dick Pickles resigned as
Dick Pickles resigned as a police chief, and he was only police chief for one day.
Or 1 month.
1 month, and he stepped down, and no one knows why he stepped down.
This is a list of over 70 police chiefs.
70 police chiefs within the last few weeks that have resigned, and they've done it, and no one knows why they've done it. They just decided they were going to up and quit.
And these are, I mean, some are small towns, some are big cities. I see Tulsa, Oklahoma, Stamford, Connecticut. So it looks like it's big and small cities. So what does that mean?
Well, I can speculate. You want to hear my speculation?
I would.
They're going to federalize the police departments. And they're getting ready to do it because they're going to make the big move to federalize and militarize the police forces.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're heading in that direction. What are you going to say, Alex?
And this is one of the reasons why Mayor Tom Potter easily got into the position that he was. Former police chief did a lot to federalize the local police during the 1980s. A lot of history there locally.
Right. So, I mean, and not only that, but we're going to also see privatized police departments or paid for police by pay that will go in that are basically paid.
Those are mercenaries.
Yeah. And they're going to come in, and they're also going to shoot American citizens because those that are threats will be taken out because of what Blair said. Dennis Blair. This is why we're talking about the police state. If this is your first police state, pay attention. The policies and doctrines of the Bush administration were criminal and unconstitutional. They're being extended. And now we're not stopping at no habeas corpus. We're now saying Posse Comitatus overturned. We're now saying John Warner Defense Authorization Act signed by the Commander-in-Chief. Basically to say the president will declare a public emergency and station troops anywhere in America and take control of state-based National Guard units without the consent of the governor or local authorities in order to suppress public disorder. Now, if you think that you don't see the police state now, you're going to see it coming. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Tonight on the program, Alex Ansari, James Evan Pilato. A great show in store. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about the police state. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
101 KUFO, Portland's Rock.
Thank you. getting people to consent to what is happening. We are a trusted company performing a series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude.
If your point is that perhaps Barack Obama is in for a new world order, I think you are correct.
But now they've denied the entire Homeland Security Committee of the United States House of Representatives access to their so-called detailed plan to provide for continuity of government. They say, trust us. Trust us, the people who brought us Katrina, to be competent in face of a disaster. Trust us, the people who brought us warrantless wiretapping and other excesses eroding our civil liberty. Trust us.
All I wanna say is that they don't really care about. All I wanna
Spirit, Ground Zero, an off-seater experience. Through the crack. Just when you thought you were safe.
Spoke up instead. The loudspeaker spoke up instead. The loudspeaker spoke up instead. Give up. Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero coming to you live from Portland, Oregon. The warm Portland, Oregon. No snow here. Yeah, just showing off for all these greenies that live here, that's for sure. Think of that. Hey, if you want to call in, we want you to call in. Lines are filling up now at 1-800-344-KUFO. Tonight's show, the police state, your first police state. I'm sure many of you have never lived in one before. I'm telling you, we're in one now. And I'm sure many of you probably don't believe me, but there are a few people who have seen the police state firsthand, and they know it's here. You see, that song you heard, Michael Jackson's They Don't Really Care About Us, you know, that was the last song he sang in that This Is It show, and then he croaked. He died. It's all about police brutality. It's all about the police state, the coming police state. I mean, he knew. I mean, he talked about it. You see, American policy has always been fair treatment under the law, according to the Constitution. However, experimental tortures were carried out in camps set aside for political detainees. This has been determined to be criminal under the Geneva Convention. However, there will be no trial for those who may have been responsible, since Democratic leaders like Nancy Pelosi and Reid have repeatedly said that they will block any attempt to bring anybody from the previous administration to trial, even though that administration is criminal. There's a mountain of evidence to show that that governmental criminal activity has been going on even before the Bush administration took power. The criminal activity has been shown to be committed by what is known as a shadow government to ensure the continuity of policy, which is now criminal policy in the United States. The mob of the 545 using the police to enforce draconian laws against its people and keep them from facing prosecution for laws they break every day. Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has shown her malfeasance by refusing to prosecute or subject members of the previous administration to investigations despite their many criminal acts. Barack Obama continues in the criminal mischief by not dismantling the Bush Doctrine, but extending it with every unconstitutional policy still intact. Policy that is unconstitutional remains as standard law, an executive decision to surrender sovereignty and implement a private police force to round up Americans that they see as threats are still waiting to be carried out. But now we have Dennis Blair, who is one of the intelligence czars, if you will, saying that now we can shoot Americans if they feel they are a threat to American policy. And there you have it, folks. The police state is here. If they can shoot you without due process, that is fascist, okay? And I know that you're probably thinking, well, how does that affect me? Well, it's not going to affect you unless you get your ass shot off because you go grabbing for a brush in the dark somewhere. Or here's the deal. Here's something to think about, okay? You know, back in the 1970s, in the 1980s, I know many of you don't care about those times, but let's talk about them a little bit. There was something called SWAT. It was SWAT that went in and they took guys that were militarized going in there to take on hostage situations. All right? Hostage situations, drug situations, situations where somebody was in danger. Then, in the 1980s, we had CERT teams where they actually militarized the police forces even more. Okay? But do you know what? It used to be that these SWAT and CERT teams were sent out on drug deals, actually going after drug dealers and going after people who were taking hostages. CERT teams are now called out for domestic disputes.
So, well, let's break this down and tell folks
right.
what CERT is.
Okay.
C-E-R-T.
Right.
Community Emergency Response Teams. And if you go to citizencorps.gov/CERT, it's, well, it's all green, which that that may fit into the coming green police, but it looks like a nice thing.
Right.
It doesn't look like a SWAT team. It looks like folks who come out and help on you know, public emergency.
They're called out to domestic disputes, and what happens? We're hearing about people without weapons getting mm-hmm. shot. And it's because the CERT team shows up, and they're like going, well, we got a clear target. Let's shoot it. Why? Well, we thought the officers were in danger. That's why we shot. Yeah, 34 times? Or, you know, we're hearing all these. What do you got, Ask?
Well, this is already becoming a national story. Here's the headline from the Oregonian. Grand jury clears cop in shooting, raises issues. And actually, I was forwarded the grand jury letter that they wrote to the DA. Although they're not going to indict the officer that shot the black man in the back with an AR-15. By the way, they were called because of some domestic dispute. He did not beat his children. He did not beat his wife. Yet they were called because someone heard someone yelling. He was upset because his brother had died the same day from liver failure.
Right.
And so this is what we're seeing in the Oregonian. And so the grand jury is very upset at the training that the Portland police officers seem to be lacking. And so this is becoming an issue, but it's a national issue because we're hearing about the stories like
well,
this.
Yeah, we're hearing about people who, you know, basically when the CERT teams show up, that means you're dead. Okay. And I don't know, why would they need to send a CERT team to something as simple as a domestic dispute?
Well, I want to wait.
It used to be sheriffs and deputies would show up. They could handle it well. But now we need a militarized police force to go in with all the big weapons? Come on.
Right. And I just want to make one small point. The police brutality issue is important, and we need to look at it. There's also another issue that I want to bring up and plant a seed. In this day and age, if you have some sort of a domestic dispute in your home, you better really be needing the police to save you, to save your life. If you call the police on your wife or
right.
your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend,
right.
they come with the big guns. They come with the AR-15s.
Yeah.
They are trained to kill. So if you are in a situation, and I want people to think very carefully about this, that are in some of these situations right now listening to my voice,
right.
you need to be damn straight that your life is in danger before you take that risk.
That's right, because they'll show up. If you're in danger, then yeah, call the cops. But, you know, sometimes, like for example, I got this little tidbit I want to read to you. Peter Kraska, a criminologist at the University of Eastern Kentucky, estimates, we have seen a startling 1,500% increase in the use of CERT teams until the early 2000s. And the vast majority of these CERT team raids are for routine warrants that could have been handled by a deputy sheriff. And the unfortunate thing about the typical American is that they're too comfortable with the idea that America does not have this going on. It's okay to see the no-knock warrant happen with your neighbor, but if it happens to you, then you cry police brutality. They're here to enforce. They're here to serve. They're here to put their butts on the line for you. Now, if they're going to go in there, they don't know what kind of attitude you're going to have when they show up at the door. They're going to shoot, okay?
You don't know what kind of day they had?
Yeah. And so the situation I'm getting at here is that in a police state, watch your ass. Because it's going to come, and if it comes, you know, what, you're going to blame the cops? No, they're just doing what they're supposed to do. People say, oh, police brutality. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're taking care of the problem because they're told that the problem is larger and the beast is larger than we can handle. So they got bigger guns, they've got tanks, and they're becoming a militarized police force. The military-industrial complex, they're moving in, and they're making these police officers, these police chiefs are resigning. Okay, the way we plan our police situation is different now, and the police have to come and apologize for just doing their job, which is basically cracking heads, which they're told to do. It's weird, but true. Let's go to Mike in North Portland. Hi, Mike. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to talk about the police state and how it's been a slow evolution. It's always been around.
Yeah.
All societies.
Mm. Go ahead.
And let's see, the first stage, and even in U.S. society, is the public execution
mm-hmm.
phase.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the 1800s, 1700s, even 1900s, there was hangings, you know, tar and feathering, and that would scare people into conforming to the laws.
Right.
That's stage one. Stage two was, you know, the police in riot gear with the fire hoses.
Yeah.
Stage three is the, you know, the cameras everywhere. They're watching you.
Yep, we got that.
To a point where it's something called the panopticon.
Yes,
the panopticon, yes.
Yeah, where in jails, there's the guard tower with a one-way mirror, and it looks at all the jail cells. Mm-hmm. Now, there's only, you know, one or two deputies in there, but you don't know where they're looking at, so you don't want to commit any crimes in the jail because they might be looking at you.
Right, and the panopticon is being established as we speak with digital television and HD now.
Right, and Jeremy Bertham was the name of the designer of the panopticon prison several hundred years ago, and it certainly is a model for the modern society.
And it's the it's a modern panopticon prison system where now they can look at you from both ways, and when you bought your box to put on your television to allow digital come into your house, it can be used as a two-way viewing. It can look at you, and you don't even know it.
And the idea, I believe, of a panopticon, too, is that you don't know if you're always under surveillance. You just assume that you probably are under surveillance and act accordingly.
And chances are you are. I mean, how many times you're on camera a day? You can't count. I mean, you go to the ATM, you're on camera. You go to the store, you're on camera. You're driving on the road, the cameras are there to see if traffic's moving okay. You check into your job, you're on camera. I mean, yeah, the surveillance
society. And the purpose is for us to get used to policing ourselves.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that, you know, in a police state, this is how it is. And what's really interesting is that I talked with people from England, and they've said, we're fighting against everything you guys are fighting for. And that is, a lot of people want more cameras. They want more surveillance. They want all this because they're afraid of the terrorists.
Even though studies show that in London, the most heavily surveilled city in the world, the most CCTV cameras anywhere in the world, has not actually contributed to solving
any crimes. No, it doesn't solve any crimes at all. And also, if there's anybody listening from Chicago tonight, I invite you to call in at 1-800-344-KUFO. I'm sure I got a lot of fans in Chicago. 1-800-344-KUFO. Call in and tell me about how it is to have surveillance cameras everywhere you go in Chicagoland. Because there are cameras everywhere in Chicago now. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. 1-800-344-KUFO. Let's go to Michael in Portland. Hi, Michael. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You know, it's funny. I have something to mention with what you were just talking about as far as the London police cameras. I used to live in Oakland.
Yeah.
And I was in San Francisco, and I actually met the guy who was in charge of the closed-circuit television security for London. And he said it's getting to the point to where it's also an intercom system as well. So say you drop a piece of trash and you don't get it into the garbage can, they will come on an intercom and be like, hey, pick that up.
Wow.
But the original reason why I called, you mentioned that thing, there's two things you mentioned as far as like with the Beyonce video.
Right.
Another thing that kind of reminded me of is the Charlie's War. You know, the senator, you know, that movie that...
Oh, yeah,
Charlie Wilson. He just died recently, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was funny, you know, they mentioned that he was trying to help freedom fighters, Afghan freedom fighters, and they forget to mention that that was the Mujahideen, which also included Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, the Taliban, yeah. He's responsible. Actually, Charlie Wilson's responsible for 9/11. He's one of them, anyway.
Yeah, and the other thing was, if you had a caller from Dallas, Oregon, and... You know, you talk about the police state and small towns like that, and in that Polk County, I went to high school there, and it's pretty obvious, and it's been obvious for a while, you know, as far as the kind of idea of a police state. Basically, we're small town America. If you don't fit the specific profile to live in our small town, we're going to do what it takes to get you out of here. There was,
the boss hogs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically, when I was, I was in high school, I think I was, 16, this was like around 1995, there was a mentally challenged guy who, he walked around town, completely harmless, he lived at the local home there, and he had went up to the local Safeway parking lot and was waving a stick around. You know, apparently he was off his meds or something along those lines, and they shot and they killed him.
Yeah. And they're saying that they don't have enough training now, they don't train officers to understand mentally retarded people or people with mental disorders. And that's the thing, is that they don't take the time, and they take the shot. And, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I can't. You know, that's the thing, is it's hard to judge police because, you know, I wouldn't want to be a police officer. I've known several. In fact, I lived with a police officer. One of my great friends is a police officer. I've been on rides with him. I've seen things go crazy with him. And, you know, I've also heard stories about when he was stabbed by someone and what he thought. I mean, yeah, officers are human beings, and they will act like human beings. There are officers that are jerks, and they'll do those things, too. But when you have a mob, when you have a mob that's basically running the country and creating problems that they basically want to call the militarized police force in to take care of, this is where you have to stop and say, hey, we live in a police state, and that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. Let's go to Jeremy, Oregon City. Hi, Jeremy. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey. Well, recently I graduated. My major was in criminal justice.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of training and studies and things like that.
You to be an officer?
Police studies have been changing dramatically. They're improving, sure. Or they're having to improve for their lack of training that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
I know, as you said earlier, you were talking about just a minute ago, the mental case, and, you know, they don't know how to deal with mentally retarded, handicapped people, things like that.
Right.
And they haven't had any training for that. It was all black and white before. There was no gray area.
Right.
The simple domestic violence calls that we had before when, you know, ma, pa, yell, and no big deal, come split them up, now turn into officer opens the door, get shot.
Well, let me give you an example of how the police state operates. I remember I had a situation where I had someone very close to me had died in my home. I had brought that person back using mouth-to-mouth and heart massage. The police showed up, and there she was lying there dead. The paramedics were working on her. And the first thing the police asked me was, are you on any drugs? Is she on any drugs? Can we search your house for drugs? While she's getting this needle shoved in her, to get, put, you know, more adrenaline into her heart to get it going again, they want to ransack my house for drugs. And I was pissed. I thought, no, you take care of the problem now. And no, they wanted to search me for drugs. And
the big conflict I've been having with my own stuff is, growing up, I was jaded. It was always this jaded view of the police. It was never like that. I never got to see this police state, and you never really heard much about it, especially here in Oregon.
Right.
I grew up, studied, I wanted to be a police officer, help my community, and now I really, you know, I've had a lot of second thoughts.
I don't want you to have second thoughts. If you have a good heart, and if you want to be a good guy, yeah, be a police officer. In fact, I wanted to study criminal justice. In fact, I've dabbled in it. But the truth is, you know, it's like now, not all police officers are corrupt. I'm not saying that. I'm not giving police a bad name. But as I'm saying, your government has now laid the law down that no due process is going to be needed now. They can shoot to kill you if they think that you're a threat. No more. I mean, it's now, you know, no trial, no judge. Nothing. It's bye.
So much saying corrupt as much as lack of training, as lack of intelligence there for that situation that's happening. You know,
police are only doing what they're told. Police are only doing what they're told, and that's what they have.
You bust their heads and you ask questions later because it's all about your safety, not the safety of the public.
Don't know about that. I think there are a lot of police officers who look after the safety of the public. I think though that what you're looking for though is you're looking once again at that mob of 545 that basically have effed with the country, and now they're going to blame you for it. And if you don't toe the line, they'll call out their little mob on you, and people will follow. That's basically it. I'm not going to rag on cops. I love police officers.
I think it's important not to actually go there. Not that we get into this sort of us against them, because ultimately that's how it'll all
work. No, this is not
exactly.
This is why
the Oath Keepers are out there. Jeremy, if you're a good guy and you're close to becoming a cop, keep doing it. Keep moving forward, because we need guys like you out there protecting our civil liberties.
Exactly. Protect civil liberties. Serve and protect, not enforce, because you're being manhandled and bullied by this mob of 545. Especially a corrupt mob of 545, they're extending the policies of unconstitutional law in this country, creating a mob, creating the police state that may be your first one that you're living in now. Pay attention to it. I'm with Alex Ansari tonight, and also James Evan Pilato. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Zero with host Clyde Lewis.
You know, a lot of the idea of a police state takes a backseat because there are a lot of you out there that believe that in Obama's America, that, you know, this doesn't happen. And people are too brainwashed to believe that the beast wearing the jackboot has been planted firmly in the grave. It went away with a vote against Bush in 2008. The truth is painfully revealing itself. And the chances of you being oppressed by your own government has increased now that Obama's become president. Not because he's a Democrat, because he's just one more chess piece for the police state. I'm saying, this is a political ideology speaking here. The truth is, both the right wing and the left wing, when flapping together, you know, when it's flapping together, give the fascist bird the ability to fly. Left to its own devices, it will swoop down, sink its talons into its prey, and have to lay low and avoid being seen by its ever-watchful eye. This is what we're talking about tonight, and it's not about ragging on police. There's a difference between police brutality and police state, okay? You know, police brutality, yeah, everybody gets their ass kicked by a cop now and again if they're just bad-mouthing a cop. Police state means something totally different. With me tonight, Alex Ansari with Outside the Box and James Evan Pilato. He's also with MediaMonarchy.com. Can any of you tell me what the difference between this police brutality is and what the police state is?
I guess, kind of simply, police brutality would seem to be a more concrete instance, but the police state is something a little more intangible and something to discuss and
right.
Something that can be pervasive and something that you feel. But again, like we were talking, a lot of these things are technically law.
Right. And when Blair said what he said, where he said we can shoot an American citizen overseas or we can shoot him without a trial, what he's basically saying is this is an excuse to shoot Muslims.
Mm-hmm. And this
is what it is.
This sources back to, and this has kind of been our focal point of the Director of National Intelligence, Dennis Blair, saying the U.S. can kill U.S. citizens abroad. This comes by way of the Washington Post after they reported that Obama is continuing the Bush activities of basically overseas assassinations.
Right. And what we're doing is we're going to be assassinating Muslims. We're going to be killing Muslims.
For now.
We're going to kill, yeah, for now. Killing Muslims and ipso facto killing blacks again. The war on drugs is a war against blacks. This is a war against blacks. A darker skinned people. Okay, this is Black History Month.
Right.
All right. What a joke. We got a semi-black president, you know, to hear all these uptight white liberals say, oh, for a minute there, I forgot he was black.
Right.
You know what it is? It's because America sees black people as handicapped. This is why, you know, they act the way they do. This is why, you know, people like Chris Matthews says, well, I was watching the president give his speech, and for a moment I forgot he was a black man. This is why Reed says, you know, he can interchange talking from a Negro to talking like a dude. It's because they look at it as being a handicap to be a black man. And it is a handicap to be a black man because all we're going to do is shoot the black people, Muslim, whatever. If they just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, blam, 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 they're dead.
And then, Clyde, you've got all these people out there that think because Obama's the president that we've dealt with our racist past. And, in fact, it's getting worse. When you've got black men and white men working together to kill Arabs in the Middle East, a war that was based on a lie, it's a little bit bigger than weapons of mass destruction, by the way, for those that do research on what's really going on. You know, as long as well over a million are dead in this illegal so-called war on terror, racism has not been dealt with in this country. And one point on the police, if we have an opportunity to talk to them when we see them at a coffee shop, to try to have a dialogue, that's beautiful when it happens. But I'm finding that a lot of police officers, Clyde, don't want to talk. And they're playing into that divide
Of course so. Look at the way they're treated. Look at the way they're talked about. Look what happens. I mean, they shoot somebody because they don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're being thugged by the 545 that tell them, hey, do this. You know, cert teams. You know, we got to make our budget quota. Heck, we got all this military-type weaponry. What are we going to do? Let's go kill someone. Of course. That's what your police state's all about.
But the police need to learn and realize that they're being used. In the end, when this comes down, they're slashing jobs. They're going to be using them to just write us a bunch of tickets and defend banks and the infrastructure.
And that's
they're
why,
not going to be there for you when you call 911.
And that's why those chiefs are resigning. You know why they're resigning? Because they can't stand how it's going.
And some of them don't like Homeland Security walking up in their backyard.
Hell no. And we shouldn't either. Those cops that are resigning, they're resigning either because they're retiring,
mm-hmm.
or it's because they don't want to be federalized, or they don't want to be militarized. They don't want Posse Comitatus to be overturned.
Maybe they have a conscience.
And they have a conscience. Exactly. That's exactly right. The number to call, 1-800-344-KUFO. 1-800-344-KUFO. With me tonight, James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com and Alex Ansari from Outside the Box. Let's go to Jose now. Jose, hi. You're on Ground Zero. You there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say this is a great topic, by the way, guys.
Thank you.
It's pretty much number one, I think, out there, in my eyes anyway. One thing I did want to bring up, it was touched a little bit by one of the guys talking right now, is, well, to me, it's pretty scary, is the broad definition of terrorism. I think first off, this system has been so effective in their stealth. I mean, to me, the difference between like Fidel and living in a country like that and Hugo Chavez of Venezuela and here is the fact that you know what you're getting over there. They don't lie to you. You know what you're involved in. You know.
I totally agree with you, Jose. I've told people many times I'd rather have the swastika flying above the White House than having me try and guess what's going on.
Exactly, and over here it's the stealth, it's secrecy, it's all lying. They're shady. There's such a disconnect that the normal American doesn't see. My fiance, I asked her to marry me today. By the way,
oh, congratulations!
No, it is Valentine's Day. It we is. Maybe should mention.
Yeah,
I love you, Clyde. Thanks for bringing me on the air.
We all love each other here. Go ahead, good job. Let me just all go. Go ahead.
So she, and I was speaking with her uncle. He's an older white man, very conservative, 70-something. He's in his 70s. And he's still on that, like, picking. He's with the conservative, GOP and all that. And he just doesn't get that Democrats or Republicans, it doesn't matter. Their agenda, they protect their own. Why do you think Nancy Pelosi won't allow an investigation? Because they protect their own. Because she knows she could be in the hot seat at one point when her administration's over. And she's not going to want them to investigate her.
Yeah, they all. I think the requirement for being a politician anymore is having a skeleton in the closet so great that if it's exposed, you'll be blackmailed.
And that's what it is. And then you think about some of these politicians that are exposed and are caught with scandals. It's, to me, the first thing that comes to mind is who did he piss off or who did he not piss off?
Oh, exactly. Have you ever heard that Bill Hicks commentary where he says that what happens is the president is called into a dark room with a group of people, and what they do is they sit him down and they say, I want you to take a look at this, Mr. President, and what it is it's the Kennedy motorcade, and it's from a different angle than the grassy knoll, and you see that the bullet goes in his head a couple times, and you see all the bullets firing at him really close up, and then they turn off the projector and they say, so, Mr. President, do you have any questions? And he says, yeah, what's my agenda?
Right. Exactly. So I think one thing to really, really focus on is, I mean, the fact that, like I was saying, this man, he just picks a side, just runs with it, doesn't question anything that these guys say.
Because they still believe in 20th century America. 21st exactly. century America is run by the mob. I don't care if you love Obama or not. He comes from Chicago. He was a Daily Boy. He knows what he's doing. And he's also got the CIA behind him, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger. Both Henry Kissinger's a war criminal, last time I checked.
Oh, yes.
Operation Condor. I mean, you look at all these people that are behind the president, and you're trying to tell me, oh, it's all Peachy Keen, wonderful. He smiles at me, and he makes me feel great. I won't have to pay my bills anymore. Yay for socialism. Well, you know what? You know, okay, socialism can only go so far. Smiles can only go so far. Teleprompters can only go so far. And making fun of women who read notes off their hands can only go off so far. Quit using these push-button issues, abortion, immigration, and global warming. Quit using these things as tools to divide people when the police state is controlling us and it's being controlled by the 545 people that we allegedly elected.
Clyde, it's like foreplay before we get screwed.
Oh, that's true. That's a good one. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Merced, California now. And Kyle, thank you for calling from Merced, California. Go ahead. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in tonight.
I've got kind of mixed views on the police state because where I'm from in Merced, it's kind of a rough neighborhood. So I understand the police being a little stern, and they are a little trigger happy. I agree with that, and it's not right at all. But I'm not sure if we're going on to a full-fledged, full-scale federal, national, public, police state movement. I'm not sure if I can ever see America publicly doing that. Maybe behind closed doors, how you were just talking about the president being shown to Kennedy. I can see something like that being run behind closed doors, but I'm not sure if I can ever see it publicly being...
Okay, hold on one second. Hold on one second. I want to hear from Alex. Alex, okay. Give me one point that we are in
Glad
a police state right now.
A question. The difference between police brutality and the police state. Police brutality is specific. We're talking about guys getting shot in the back with AR-15s, guys getting beat literally into the ground. The police state is the larger picture, and it's actually beyond national. It's global. It's a surveillance society. It's the DNA database that multiple countries have information on people's DNA. It's the cameras being put up. It's the shouting CCTV cameras. It's the fact that 1 in 300 Americans are now on the tier watch list. It's the fact that Google's monitoring your Gmail accounts and logging everything you do and building psychological algorithms. They're finding out who you are, what you buy, what you do, what you like. That is the big picture of where the police state's going today.
James, what do you think? How do you think? What are some of the things you want to point out to him that we are in a full-on police state?
Well, I think, one, it sometimes seems as though we're being given a choice. Do you guys want 1984 or do you want Brave New World? Well, you're going to get one or the other.
Pepsi.
Do you want the boot on your face forever in 1984, or do you want the more shiny, happy, where you could actually have a place? You may be an alpha or a beta in society.
Let me point to you also, and I'm glad you called in from Merced, California. I know it's a rough neighborhood. You were saying you see police brutality and a lot of trigger-happy police officers, but I want to point to you why I think we're in a police state. First of all, the Central Intelligence Agency is an independent U.S. government agency. It provides national security intelligence to senior U.S. policymakers. December 17, 2004, President George W. Bush signed the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act, which restructured the entire intelligence community. House Bill H.R. 1955, entitled the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act, passed in October 2007 with 400 votes to 6. What it does is it casts a harsh and paranoid view of people seeking to protect the U.S. Constitution. That means that if you're a soldier that went out and fought in the Gulf War and you came back embittered and you're pissed off and you want to say something about it, you go on a terror watch list. You are also being misconstrued as a violent and radical person. If you are a Christian, if you are a person who puts food in your home for survival, you are looked at as a violent and radical person. It also refers to the internet. If you go online, it says if you use the internet to get your information, it provides you broad and constant streams of terrorist related propaganda in the United States. It is monitored, and it is also like they talked about, they give you a full on profile of what you're doing and where you're going. It's also that when you go to the library and check out books like Catcher in the Rye, you're monitored. The John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007, President Bush signed it. It basically tells you that the president can declare a public emergency where he'll just put troops anywhere he wants to. That is why I think we're in a police state right now.
I want to mention that my friend Doug Owen of BlacklistedNews.com just had every page on his website downloaded and copied by CENTCOM, FBI, and the Department of Defense a couple of days ago.
So there you go.
My question, to further this conversation, my question for you would be, do you think in this day and age, given the rest of the governments in the world, do you think that the action that is being taken, everything that you just described, do you think it's necessary for the government to do that?
No.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
I do
absolutely
not.
Not.
I do not. I don't think terrorism is as big as a problem as they say it is. I think terrorism is a front to basically take away your human rights and to completely level the playing field and make this whole world under one world order that will be basically free of, you'll be free of any rights at all. You won't be able to have any. That's the bottom line. And I think that our policies are becoming more harsh and people are gobbling it up because they're afraid of terrorism and they're letting their hate get in the way of reality. You know, as I said before, this whole defined policy that Dennis Blair has basically told us that we're going to assassinate people without due process, that tells me that this is based on hate and it's based on paranoia and potentiality. And I think that this nebulous nonsense is just as crazy as any conspiracy theory we can cook up here. With me, James Evan Pilato, Alex Ansari, 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back. president's name means big save.
Are you having trouble paying your credit card bills? You didn't expect to get so deep in debt, but now you need a way out, a way to relieve the anxiety, a way to avoid disaster. If you have over $12,000 in credit card debt, call Debt Settlement USA at 1-877-560-8877. Debt Settlement USA has a proven debt reduction program that can cut the amount you owe and get you out of debt faster than you could on your own. They've saved millions of dollars for their clients, and they can help you get back in control again, too. If your resolution is to get out of debt, call Debt Settlement USA for a free consultation. 1-877-560-8877. Your call is confidential, and there's no obligation. If you have over $12,000 in credit card bills, they can cut the amount you owe and help you get out of debt. Call Debt Settlement USA right now. 1-877-560-8877. That's 1-877-560-8877.
We've been in business 10 years and have really built something.
And we want to keep it.
Tornado, cyber attack, anything can happen.
So we went to ready.gov and found free templates and checklists to help put an emergency preparedness plan together. So now we worry less about the unforeseen.
And worry about the foreseen.
Payroll, our customers.
Remember when your hair wasn't gray?
Remember when you had hair?
Hey.
Go to ready.gov for details on creating an emergency preparedness plan. Becoming a success is hard work. Protecting it isn't. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Banana stand. Afghanistan. Why in the ground zero? Hot thought.
Well, hear me, I'm getting ready. Yes, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for Armageddon. I say that I'm getting ready. Yes, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for Armageddon. Say you've never seen his face before. Didn't know him as the Beast of War. He'll be knocking down each and every door. You hear me, you're getting ready. Yes, I'm getting ready. Yes, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for Armageddon.
Is a priest walking out now? Is a priest walking out now?
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. 1-800-344-KUFO, 1-800-344-KUFO. My guests tonight, James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com and Alex Ansari from AlexAnsari.com, also Outside the Box. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to burn through the phone calls. Now, we've got a lot of people lining up, and we've got very little time, so we're going to rush through all the calls. So get to your point as soon as you can. We're now going to go to David in Portland. Hi, David. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
I just wanted to recommend a film to your audience.
Sure, go ahead.
It's called The End of America. It's based on a book by the same name.
Okay.
By Naomi Wolf.
Okay.
It talks about the 10 steps a nation will go through when it's becoming a fascist state.
How do you feel about America? Are we heading there? Or are we there now?
I'd say we're on about step 9 or 10.
Oh, man, that's not good. Okay, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Patrick now, calling from Tualatin. Hi, Patrick. You're on Ground Zero.
Oh, hey, man.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I think that especially in places like Tualatin, where it's more seen as a suburb, you know, there's so much more than you think is going on. I mean, I'm 15, and, you know, I skateboard, but I've probably seen the world from the back of a police car more than anything else, and I just think it's more that police brutality, you know.
Well, police brutality is anywhere, but the idea of having a full-on police state is something that is a lot worse, and it's just feeling the jackboot at your neck half the time doing like that. Let's go down to Jeff. Jeff, you had an interesting conversation with a police officer tonight. What did he tell you?
Yeah, I asked him about why they didn't have to serve or protect on the cop cars anymore, and he said that because it wasn't their job to serve and protect, it was their job to shoot a-holes like me.
Oh, God. Well, that's nice to hear.
Honest.
At least he was honest with you. Let's go to Jared now. Hi, Jared. You're on Ground Zero.
What's going on?
Oh, go ahead.
I would like to bring up the SWAT issue again.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was 15 years old, me and my friends were outside playing with airsoft guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a neighbor call, and she even knew they were airsoft guns and said we were outside playing with real guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom came home early and then told me to get in the house, and then next thing you know, cops are showing up saying I had my mom held hostage.
There was a school that was in lockdown because some kid brought a gun to school that just shot rubber bands. This is where we are now. We're in this paranoid police state thing where we will take kids and we will make up stories in order to get the police to show up. It's just pathetic. Thanks for the call. Let's go now to Matt in Portland. Hi, Matt. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. So I was wondering, like, about the whole police statement. Why would they start in Portland? Like, why?
It's not starting in Portland. It's the entire country. That's the thing. It's the entire country. That's what a police state
is. I think we're just giving the local view from what we can see just on the ground, but know that that extrapolates to not only around the country, but to really around the world.
Yeah, the world's doing it. Okay, just pay attention. You'll start seeing your rights being eroding away, and that's the thing we're telling you about. It's telling you that once your constitutional rights are taken out, yeah, there's nothing left. Okay?
Scary thought.
Yeah, it is a thought. Let's go to Hank. Scary thought. Hank, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Hank. Mom.
Hello.
Hello, you there? Quickly.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you believe 9/11 was a conspiracy?
I believe it was an inside job. Yes, and it was a conspiracy because a lot of people planned it.
A conspiracy, by definition, is at least two people getting together to plan a criminal act.
Yeah. There you go.
That answers my question.
Thank you, buddy.
Here's one. You know, if we have nothing to hide, we should have nothing to fear. How about we apply that to the government? If they've got nothing to hide, they should have nothing to fear. Open another investigation 9/11. We should be not afraid of looking at the facts, mm-hmm. My young men and women out there returning from Iraq.
Yeah, that's true. We should look at the facts. Let's go to Glenn. Hi, Glenn. You're on Ground Zero.
This is Glenn Owen. I'm a perennial candidate for the board of directors at KABU. This is the kind of neglected point of view that KABU ought to be covering, and they're scared of it. Just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's interesting.
I'll second that.
It's interesting. A radio station, a board of directors at another radio station calls this radio station and says we should have a program on his radio station. Thank you for that call. Thank you. Oh, that's amazing. Well, tonight, we're definitely a great show tonight. James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. Anything you want to add to this?
One thing I did want to throw out is for everybody to Google, something called clergy response teams. And I think this will really kind of set it home that basically Homeland Security has paid police officers to tell their flock to just be cool when martial law comes. I think that kind of story really, really hits folks.
So getting to your clergymen and telling them, hey, that's what God wants.
Exactly.
Do what
they
say.
And they'll use Romans 13 to do it.
Romans 13. And Alex Ansari, what do you have to say?
Well, I hope people contact me. Not only am I a TV radio host, I'm trying to bring people together. AlexAnsary.com, A-N-S-A-R-Y, or you can also Google Outside the Box. It's the first website that pops up. Email me tonight. I'll get back to you.
What we're going to do is we're going to do this more often, guys, because I have you at my disposal. We have this show to talk about these subjects, and, you know, it's always nice to have two witnesses, somebody like you, James, mm-hmm. who digs into the news all the time, and Alex, you've done commentary.
Why, it is an honor
to
call you my friend.
Thank you, yeah, and I'm glad to have you on board, too. We've got all kinds of people working behind the scenes to make sure that what you're getting is you're getting some quality information that you can take and talk to other people about. We have all kinds of people working with us, and we're glad to have them on board. We're thankful for Ditch to giving us this opportunity to do this program on a Sunday night. I'd like to thank we'd like to thank all the other people that are behind us. So I'd like to thank Janine tonight for helping me with the great picture that's on my website of the baby with the gun. It's an amazing shot. And just a great show tonight. Thank you so much. Also, groundzerotv.org. Check out Mike's videos. He does them here. We'll see you next week on Ground Zero. Take care.
Ten Rockers
starts now.
101 KUFO,
Portland's Rock.